Well, at least I can say good day. Seems almost unreal to understand that in only 2 weeks the fall festival season begins. Feast of Trumpets is 2 weeks from today. And in a way, this has always been my favorite time of year, mostly because of the feast, to what it points to. But do we really know what it means? Does it really matter to us? When we review the holy days of God, we realize that half of them are behind us. The Passover and Pentecost are both accomplished events in history, and it's true, they do have a present and living purpose, but they were prophesied and the events occurred. God sent forgiveness through Jesus, and then sent His Holy Spirit to begin the church. And that work continues to this day and won't stop until God's purposes are accomplished. But in terms of asking what we're living for, of wondering where we're going and why all the pain and suffering and effort is worth it, it becomes necessary to look ahead, to look to where all prophecy has been pointing and to everything that that's going to mean. And arguably, the most important event in human history is ahead of us, the return of Jesus Christ to the earth, God on earth, and the culmination of what has been called the church age. And all of that is bound up in the fall festivals. And for brevity's sake, I'm just going to refer to all of them as the feast right now. In this present age, the feast is a guaranteed vacation provided by God. It sometimes hasn't been popular just to use that term toward it, but God makes it clear in the way He commanded the observance of the feast by telling us to go and enjoy it, to rejoice in it, to spend what we will on good things. Of course, as always, God has deeper reasons in mind. The rejoicing that He wants is for deeper reasons than mere hedonism. He knew that the daily affairs of this life would tend to crowd out necessary thinking. He knew we'd always need a time to step aside, as it were, to get out of the daily grind, the daily rut of living, and gain some perspective. To remember what life is really about. Too often, people in this world become so caught up in the immediate pursuit of their lives that that effort buries all deep thinking, all consideration of greater things. And we all know people that have essentially never taken a vacation, and not because of bad finances, but because they feel they can't afford the time. By concentrating so hard on making a living, they miss life. There's even that sad joke that says that life is what happens while you're busy doing other things. People know they're trapped in this. They just don't know the way out. So God provided a way, partly through every weekly Sabbath. One day out of every week to step aside and consider the course and purpose of life, including considering the source of life, the Creator and Lord of life, and where He's leading us. It's all part of God's purpose for us, as spoken by Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first of all the kingdom of God. And both the fall feast and the weekly Sabbath point us toward the actual coming of that kingdom and our final induction into it, our ultimate destiny. The Sabbath and holy days give us the focus of our lives. They force us to repeatedly remember the future, the purpose of it all. They remind us who's in charge. The Sabbath and holy days are easy to keep, or maybe I should say easy to observe, but do we really consider the deep purposes that they represent? Do we truly determine to celebrate the feast and all that it means? Or are we so wrapped up in the hustle of life that even God's feasts become just another event that we schedule and get through so we can carry on with our daily lives once it's over. It has to mean more than that. Because it does mean more than that. It means enough that God, through Jesus, will make sure that the world knows all about the purpose during the millennium. No one will be able to get away with ignoring it. In Zechariah 14, verses 16 to 19, God says, "It will come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations shall go up from year to year to worship the Lord of hosts and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Lord will punish the nations that do not keep the Feast of Tabernacles." That's how important the purpose of it is. That realm, that future, that promise of what's to come inspired Paul to write in Philippians 3, verses 10 through 14, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings," which we do, by the way, because as human beings called of God, we can't help it. We can't avoid them. Paul went on, "becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me in Christ." And he added, "All of us who are mature should take such a view of things." Even Jesus had to look beyond. While in this lifetime, and most especially at the end of his human life, he had to fix his gaze on the same things that God tells us to look toward. So that, as it's written in Hebrews 12, verse 2, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." That is the prize. That is the goal. That is what this high calling is all about. And the feast holds this up in front of us so that it can't be ignored. Or can it? I can remember many fateful and joyful and sad years while keeping the feasts in Squaw Valley, California, for those of you who are privileged to know that feast site. In the 1970s, as many other times, those were dramatic times for the church. And during those feast days, we spent most of our afternoons and evenings sharing homes with each other, having huge meals and late evening talks that would go on forever about everything the future might hold. Those were incredible times, with deep and deeply felt conversations among people who truly felt like a family. In fact, if things go according to plan, I'll be spending some time at the feast in Bend this year with a few of those old friends from those days. Haven't seen them in years, and I'm looking forward to that. Even after the feast, the plan is to see a few more of them on the Oregon coast on the way home. Somehow, despite time and distance, those friendships have held on, partly because of those times. We knew what we were about, even if we've had to grow up a bit in our expectations and our assumptions. But the amazing part of it is that most, and I mean most by a long shot, of all those people I knew are just gone. They left the fellowship, they got distracted, they lost the path somewhere along the way, and only God knows where they are now or where they will be. We can lose that path. And all it takes, as Jesus warned, is to let the affairs of this life overwhelm us, to become so consumed by this temporary existence that what reality truly is and will be gets lost along the way. No wonder God told ancient Israel to keep these things before their eyes day and night. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 8 and 11, verse 18, God said, "These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Fix these words of mine on your hearts and minds. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." The feast is the focus of our lives. Every day, every week, every year, for as long as we live, and even when eternity arrives, its purposes will be just as alive as ever, because it brings together every purpose that God has for this creation and gives us a means to picture just a bit of what lies ahead and why it's all worthwhile. So in a few weeks, when the feast arrives, wherever you may be, embrace it, celebrate it. It's your life, it's your future, if you want it. And remember to think on these things. And I mean, think on these things.